Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Numbers chapter 8 for our second reading. Numbers chapter 8, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, When thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps that shall give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. And this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold. Unto the shaft thereof, unto the flowers thereof, was beaten work, according to the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses. So he made the candlestick. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the Levites from among the children of Israel, and cleanse them. And thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them. Sprinkle the water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Then let them take a young bullock with his meat offering, even fine flour mingled with oil, and another young bullock shalt thou take for a sin offering. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. And the Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks. And thou shalt offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for the Levites. And thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons, and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt cleanse them and offer them for an offering. For they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel, instead of such as open every womb, instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel. I have taken them unto me. For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. And I have taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the children of Israel. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel, to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, and to make an atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come nigh unto the sanctuary. And Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levites according to all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites. So did the children of Israel unto them. And the Levites were purified, and they washed their clothes. And Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord. And Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. And after that went the Levites in to do their service in the tabernacle of the congregation before Aaron and before his sons, as the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did they unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This is it that belongeth unto the Levites from 25 years old and upward. They shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and from the age of 50 years they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof, and shall serve no more, but shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge, and shall do no service. Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites, touching their charge. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. In the first portion of this passage, very short section, we have the light, the lampstand that was in that first room of that tent, right? Two rooms in the tent, holy place, holy of holies. In the first room, into which the priests went every day, there was a candlestick, And every day they were required to fill that with oil and to light those lamps, that there would always be a light in that first room. And that was the only light that was there. The candlestick is a very interesting type in Scripture. It's used in several different ways. There's one way in the book of Zechariah that it is used for the entirety of the ministry of Christ, in his office as king and in his office as priest. And so we have those two, what they're called, sons of oil, or the King James renders it the two anointed ones, the king and the priest. Remember, in the Old Testament, there were only two offices that were that acceded to their office according to anointing, kings and priests. Prophets were not anointed in that way. Judges were not anointed like that. But kings and priests were. And so in the ministry and in the magistracy, which is presented in the book of Zechariah, in the prophecy of Zechariah, as that those two anointed ones, and there's these pipes of oil, the golden oil, and the light comes, and it is not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And so it's by indeed the Spirit of the Lord that this kingdom of Christ comes upon the kingdom of men and takes it over, right? It's like the rock that was made without hands and smashes all the other kingdoms of the world. And so, in some sense, the candlestick is put for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ that is administered in each of the various spheres of the ministry and the magistracy. There's another metaphor in Scripture for the candlestick, and that is seen in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, remember there is that candlestick that is in the midst of the churches. And so the candlestick is representative of the true churchship of the church, if I can put it that way, such that what Christ threatens there, if they will not repent and do what he has commanded them, that he will remove his candlestick. That means that they may retain an outward form of a church, but they will not be a church at that point. So then, when we see those metaphors and the way that they play out throughout the rest of Scripture, it's very clear then what has happened here and why it relates to the Levites that are immediately spoken of as following. Because the metaphor is that this churchliness should be indeed appearing before the Lord at all times. That the church of Jesus Christ is indeed something that continually appears before him. They are always at his, if you will, at that veil of the temple. They are always right before him. That what they do as a light, that they are that light that shines with the light of Jesus Christ himself. That what we put forward as the church to the watching world as light in the midst of darkness must not be our own darkness recently repackaged, but it must be the light of Jesus Christ. That is the knowledge and righteousness and morality and perfection and moral verity of the of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is what we hold out to the watching world. And it is in that sense that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, ye are the light of the world. And all this relates back to that menorah that was in that first section, that first room of the tabernacle. Because first and foremost, the light of the church, which is a reflected light, it's Christ's light, it belongs first and foremost to be witnessed by God that he may rejoice over it. So it's there first. All right, secondly then, we have the Levites and what we're doing with the Levites here. And we'll not run back over the details, but there may be two truths here, I think, that are really important for us not to let pass by, and that briefly. The first is that when the Levites come forth, they must come forth with an offering. Right? They come forth with an offering. There is something about the Levites that we're learning here, which is about all of us, and that is that we are not competent to appear before the Lord. That we don't simply get to waltz in into the Lord's presence in any old way we choose. That we come by way of sacrifice. We come acknowledging our sins. We come acknowledging our imperfection. And we come acknowledging His mercy and grace in calling us and receiving us. So that's the first truth. And so these Levites, they come with a sin offering and with a whole burnt offering. An offering for their sin and then a whole burnt offering, which is truly offering up in a substitutionary fashion their whole selves unto the Lord. which leads us into the second point. And the second point, and I think perhaps for today's church, this is a very, very cogent point to make, and that is that we are here today, and if you notice, I don't know if we have it here or not. Yes, here it is. Right at the top here, you see that? It says order of service. Order of service. What does that mean? Order of service. Well, the word order simply means we all know what we're going to be doing when we're doing it. In other words, we're not a cacophony of different people doing different things and different voices raised at different times. Right? There's that decency and order that belongs to the church of Jesus Christ under Christ. That's the first thing. That's the word order. What does service mean? Easy word, right? Service. Why do we call this a worship service? Because we come forth to serve. That's why. And who is it that we're serving? We're serving God. We're serving Him. I know that this is a shock, probably not to you folks, because you hear this from time to time from the pulpit here. But for most folks, to hear that the reason we come to church is to serve the Lord, that these are services that we owe unto Him week by week, every Lord's Day. Well, that's something, whoa, hold on there, Pastor. You're just going off in an area I've never considered. I've never heard that. I've heard that we ought to come to church so that we feel better, so that we get some comfort. There's a church down the road here called The Refuge that we ought to be coming to get refuge. It's for us, isn't it? No, not primarily. Now, the Lord, He's a wondrous Master. We come to serve Him. We leave blessed. But we come to serve Him. It's a worship service. And we take a look at these Levites here. There's a sense in which it's explicit. It's not implicit. It's explicit in the text here. That the Levites themselves, they are the offering unto the Lord. Now this carries right into the New Testament, doesn't it? Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Notice the word service. We're doing service. The word service in the Old Testament here is the same word we get. We were learning about a guy in the child's class today in our 15-minute Bible time with Pastor Todd. Okay, 10-minute Bible time sometimes gets to 15. We were learning about Obed-Edom. You know the name Obed? That comes from the Hebrew verb Abad. You know what Abad means? It means to serve. You know what Ebed is? Ebed is a servant or slave. You know what service is? That's right, it's Obed. It's serving. And so all of these words are related. And the Lord would use the same word when he would indeed inspire the Apostle Paul to say, this is your reasonable service. Now, it's in Greek, but it carries the same meaning. That is that we come forth from our homes on the Lord's Day. We come to church, and what do? To gather as a covenant people to serve the Lord. To offer up those services unto Him that He has required us. And that's a radical concept in our day, but that is indeed what worship is in the Scripture. Worship is ascribing worth to God, serving Him. And so the Levites themselves are the offering. Did you see that? Notice what it says here in verse 12. And the Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks, and thou shalt offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for the Levites. And thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. They are explicitly the offering. This is why the Apostle can tell us that we ourselves are living sacrifices, offerings unto the Lord. And so we come forth into a worship service to serve Him. You see, worship is not for us primarily. Now, like I said a few minutes ago, the Lord, He's a wondrous Master. And so we come forth to serve Him and we leave blessed. We leave blessed. But we have turned that. We have changed that. In every age, the church has had this difficulty. We've changed that from making the blessing that we get the focus rather than the service. The service is to be the focus. We come forth serving Him, and only in that will the blessing be found. Clamoring for the blessing will not get you the blessing. Laying yourself down as a living sacrifice is the way to bless. And so these Levites then, they are the Old Testament sign of what Paul commands us to do in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We'll have to stop there. We're out of time. So let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.